believe we should share love. We say hi to the folks that come in through that door. We should have a greeter at that door. Everybody understand, Deacon Bill is there. He's faithful. He passes out the bulletins. But we need some people to greet folks at the door. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
We need to have the church become a family like it is. Everybody knows your name. Everybody say hi to everybody else. Just wave to everybody else and say, if I don't know your name, I want to find out before you leave. Please let me know what your name is. And by the way, that's Walter back there. Hi, Walter. My name, Jose Jimenez. Elder Nancy, good to see you. God is good.
Amen.
Some of them believe that, I think. Elder Nancy's making her rounds. We have little Emma's here for the first time ever in our church. There's Emma. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Can we stand up and pray together this morning? Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Pray with me. There was a man many years ago who gave a speech. The speech lasted about 30 minutes. A lot of things he said in his speech nobody remembers, except about 20 words in that speech that everybody remembers, and I think it works for today. The man said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Everybody remembers that part of what that man said. So I'm going to say this morning, ask not what your church can do for you, but ask what you can do for your church. That is what we're going to talk about today. Serving your church means serving your neighbors, serving your brothers and sisters. Ask what you can do for your church, how you can be a part of a church, and it changes your walk immediately. When you have a task to do in your heart, when you feel like you're doing something for the church, it changes the entire meaning of going to church. So ask this morning not what your church can do for you, but what you can do for your church. And ask not what Jesus can do for you, but ask this morning what you can do for Jesus. Let's receive that message today, that great message that's easy to remember and easy to do as we celebrate a family here. Look around, know these people, reach out to these people. This is what we have. Do not look at what we don't have. Never look at what you don't have, but look at what you have. We are blessed. Say that with me. We are blessed. Look at this beautiful building. Look at what we have. Look at the pews. Look at the people. Look at what we have and understand. We are blessed. But the bigger the family grows, the more we're going to rejoice and just have a grand time with the Lord. So reach out and let it grow, because there's plenty to do in this church for anybody who wants to serve Jesus. We're going to sing worship songs and we're going to sing praise songs to God this morning in His house. Receive it all in Jesus' name. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Song number 8 in your book if you want to sing, right?
I want to see you.
How y'all doing?
Yeah, the home of the island. Now, careful, Michael. What you don't know is this young lady spent 25 years in a place called Tennessee, so she's got that y'all down pretty good. Ask not what your church can do for you. This is what the message today is. We all need to be together. You want a great time with God, you got to be together. You want a great church, we got to be together. You got to know each other. You got to celebrate. I know Mary and Joseph told me that they have some folks that might want to come to our church because where they're going, nobody talks to one another. Where they're going, they're not uniting together. And that's the key to a church being strong. Everybody knowing each other. What a blessing. Amen?
Amen.
We have that here. We have it now. So let's let it grow. Walking on faith.
If you would, girl, amen.
Thank you. this become a home for all who dare to believe simply in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. What a beautiful day. Bring us into the church, Mr. Maestro.
That song, we're going to have to sing that song. It is well with my soul. Even though the winds are blowing, the water's coming over the boat, things are happening in your life that are so drastic, but the song says, it is well with my soul. That means because God is in your life, you are in a place of stability. Isn't that wonderful? You're in a place where you can stand and say, no matter what happens, it is well with my soul. We all need to pray for Sister Pat. Sister Pat had an accident. Thank God she had George there. For all of you that want to pick on George, thank God George was there with Pat today. The other day, she's doing well. Amen. And we're going to go see her tomorrow. Amen. I'm excited about that. But say a prayer for Pat. She had no broken bones. She had an accident. She fell down. No broken bones. Isn't that a miracle? Well, what do we call it? Come on. Let's stand up and pray together, church. Thank you, Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name I pray. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. What a beautiful prayer. Imagine Jesus taught us that prayer. Isn't that wonderful? I think it is. Maybe I'm alone, but that's okay. When I'm alone with God, I'm in a good place. Thank you, Lord. There's so much to be thankful for. We need to look at what we have and not what we don't have. My family is here again today, and I met new family today. I don't think we've ever met, right, Danielle? We never met, right? Imagine family you never met, and you only live in the next city over. How, I mean, this is true, right? cousins that you've never met before walking in, and he's 6 foot taller than I am. Franny's your height, so you guys have been. We are blessed again, Mary and Norman. Thank you for being here. We hope that you enjoy it so much that you say, I want to come back, because this is a place where we can all grow together. Hallelujah. Thank you. I think it's just awesome. Myself, I love our family. Let's read together. We're going to do responsive reading from Psalm 69. I read, and then you read with me. Save me, O God, from the waters have come up to my neck.
I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I have come into deep water where the floods overflow me.
I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God.
Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs on my head. They are mighty who would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully. Though I have stolen nothing, I still must restore it.
Oh, Lord, we see this all the time. Oh, God, you know my foolishness, yes, sir, and my sins are not hidden from you.
But as for me, my prayer is to you, oh, Lord, in the acceptable time. Oh, God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation.
Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me out of the deep waters.
Amen.
Psalm 69 from the Word of God, and that's called the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
I love that. I say, you say amen all you want. Thank you, Lord. You look back in time and you look at all the things that God has delivered you from. It's almost embarrassing for you not to love him more than you should, or not to be expression. For you think of all the times in your life when it coulda, woulda, shoulda, something bad happened and it didn't happen to you. You have to wonder, God is really there with me. I can think of thousands of times where I was off in the middle of the woods all by myself and they didn't have cell phones. Can anybody remember that far back when they didn't have cell phones? Back in the old days. And I'd be out in the middle of the woods all by myself. If I fell down and broke my ankle, I'd have been left in the woods all by myself. But God has always been there for all of us. Isn't that a good thing to know? And he was with you this morning when you woke up. And whatever you talked about, he was there at that conversation. When you had breakfast, he was there. So God is there. So why not invite him and be more with him? Amen? That's a beautiful thing. The heart of a pastor is to listen, to learn, and to grow. And you know what you learn as a pastor? You know, I'm your leader, the Bible says the pastor, but I'm also your servant. So when people come to me and they talk to me, we don't have disagreements, Deacon Sergio. We talk, and if I listen to things that I don't necessarily agree with, guess what? I grow. If I put them in my heart and I say, and I kind of say, yeah, that might be better. You see, I grow, and when I grow, you grow. That's how a church grows. If we see a disagreement, it's not to fight about. I know on the news when you disagree, you're supposed to hate the person. But when somebody's talking to you and you're just sharing feelings and you're sharing things, say, you know, I didn't feel about it that way, but I'm going to think about it. And I'm telling you, the responsibility of a pastor is to do exactly that and to listen to the heart of the people. That's why you say, you need to talk to me. You need to come to me. This is your church. I'm your pastor. Come and talk to me. We're not going to have a fight. We're going to talk together because we want to same thing. Amen?
Amen?
I had the most wonderful conversation with Elder Pat this past week. We spoke for over an hour, her and I together. Just her and I. We talked about church. We talked about this church. She said, I knew I could go away for a little while because I saw the love. She said, when I first came to your church, I didn't see love. I saw people coming in and people weren't talking to one another. And she said, they didn't know who they were. And she said, then I saw the love grow. And I saw people stop and talking so much that they didn't want to start church because they were talking. She said, I saw the love. She said, but Pastor, you need two things. She said, you need patience. I hate that word. She said, you need to be patient and you need to share that with the people in the church. It might not be the way you want it to be. Maybe God doesn't want it the way you want it, but you need to be patient for the answer and you need help. You need help. You need people to reach out and take part. There's plenty in this church that we can all do. And I wrote some of these down, and I also wrote, ask not what your country can do for you, but wasn't that wonderful? Now you all know who said that, right? If I read any other part of that speech, you wouldn't have known it. But that's how that one line, that message changed people's thinking. Hallelujah. But I want you to know, as your pastor, I hear your words. I want to be with you 7 days a week. I want this church open 7 days a week. I want to do Bible studies 3 nights a week. But I know that's not possible, especially on my own. And I know that I need to do other things to survive. Amen? Because this church is so important to me that we want to put in. We don't want to take out. We want to put in. And my heart is to serve all of you, each individually different. You're not, hey, I'm going to tell you something. You're not all the same. And we don't act the same. And I don't want you to act the same. I don't want you to be following my rules and regulations. I want you to follow God's word. Because when we all follow God's word, we all of a sudden come in one accord. Isn't that amazing? Jesus. Anybody ever hear that Jesus? Say the word Jesus with me.
Jesus.
He sent out disciples. God, he could have done it himself. But what did he do? He sent out disciples. We are blessed. We had a man in this church for a season who did great things, Deacon Sergio. I miss him so much. He ran a Bible study downstairs. He came every Tuesday. He put a Bible study together. He worked on it all week long. Put together the flyer. Everybody read it. And every Tuesday night, he was here doing the Bible study. Brothers and sisters, we were so blessed to have him. And he's always going to be in my heart as one of my dearest friends. And he didn't leave for, him and his wife didn't leave for any particular reason. It was time. I really believe that whatever happened, it was time that they needed to, and plus they also want to live in another state. But that's not, the important thing is we had somebody here who took, and I had to let go of the reins. I had to let, you want to do the Bible study? I want to do it. No. And I let go of the reins. And the church was blessed. We had, he would tell me every week, we had 14 people, 16 people. I don't know about you, but I've been to Bible studies where there are 3 people, 4 people. He had 14 to 16 people coming. And we were so blessed. And he was reaching out and doing things. And everybody misses him because of the greatness, because he gave his heart to this church. And please know, they're not mad at us. They're not anything with us. It was just time for them to find another season, find another place to go. And I always pray that they come back, but it's not, it's God's calling. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
But we need a woman's group. We need a group, women, ladies. We need, you know, get together, talk about things, talk about maybe having a little this or something else. We need, and David, bless his heart, he's the kitchen person. He's not supposed to be the kitchen person. We need a kitchen. We need 2 or 3 people to say, I want to be the kitchen detail. I want to know if we have enough plates. You say, Pastor Larry, we got plates, we got cups, we got coffee, we got spoons and stuff, and everything's all set, Pastor. If you want to have a maybe downstairs instead of going to a restaurant, have a little bite to eat, or it's all set. I got 3 people that are going to volunteer. We're going to set up so the church can go downstairs and have a little dessert. It was nice last week with the Boy Scouts. I remember how good that was. So we need a couple of ladies. So you become part of the church. You don't wake up in the morning saying, I'm going to go to church. You guys say, I got to go to church. I'm in charge of something. We need men to get together. Hallelujah. How many know men like to talk? I know. We were blessed. My heart, be strong, my heart. We were blessed to have a woman in this church who loved being here. She sat next to Art every Sunday. God, we love her. She and Art planted that garden outside. My heart, every time I pulled up to the church, Mary, we got cactus out there, all kinds of flowers, all kinds of perennials out there, and Art and Gladys would be out there putting the flowers in, putting the mulch in, covering things up, and what a blessing. That garden was a blessing and is a blessing. But now we need somebody else to help us with the garden. And here's the thing. The church, and David, don't get mad at me, but the church will compensate you if you need to buy mulch, if you need to buy plates. We're not asking you to spend any money. The church said, I will help you. This church is ready. If you want to, oh, I need some mulch. You go to David or go say, okay, we'll take care of that. I need a little, and I need somebody to do some weeding. That's your garden. That's where you can be. You say, what can I do? You can work in the garden. Art, what'd you do? 1 day a week sometimes? You come over and pull some weeds out. It's the most beautiful. Wait till you see the springtime, Mary. Norm, it's so beautiful. It's right out there. All these flowers come out, and then we get the cactuses coming out. Hallelujah. The Bible says it's so important to share. Hallelujah. I'm going to do Bible studies. I'm so aching to do Bible studies. You know why? Because I want to teach you about the Holy Spirit. Because I don't have time in 20 minutes to teach you about the Holy Spirit. Because that's where power comes from. I want to teach you about the blood of Christ. What it means to be under that blood. So we're going to have Bible studies. And I'm excited about that. But Dave and I talk, we're going to do 2 a month. Because we're afraid. We don't want anybody to be overwhelmed. Amen? That's the thing we always think about. I don't want you to take 3 jobs. I don't want you... One is plenty, if you want to. But that's when you become part of it. We don't want anybody overwhelmed. But I'm so hungry to do Bible studies so we all read together. That's why the church, the what? Supplied Bibles for people at the Bible study. So we all read from the same Bible. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I say again, go with what we have, not what we don't have, because it's exciting. Elder Pat and I agree, we need patience. God will answer. And I will say one more thing, and then my wife comes back for praise me, oh Lord. When we leave here, and we can't be with you at the restaurant, I'd rather be there than anywhere else. But what we do is a ministry. Understand what we do is what the Bible says to do. We go to nursing homes. We go to nursing homes where people can't get out of bed. They can't get out of a wheelchair. They can't remember things. And we go there and we sing to them. And we lift them up. Mary and Joseph, you know that you were there. That's how we've seen you again. Greg, you know you've been in nursing homes. Lisa, you know that. Jim, you know. When you go, George and Elaine would know. We used to sing for Elaine's father. When you go to these places, you don't get applause. People don't clap and they don't stand up and whistle. Some people don't even know how to clap anymore. But they sit there and they smile. And every now and then I'll see somebody in their 90s moving their lips, singing the song that we're singing. Hallelujah. It's a gift from God. It's part of the ministry that God has called us all to do. So I would just say with this with you. Some day, we're going to be singing for Pat tomorrow. Hopefully he'll get... Come with us. For those of you that have never been to a nursing home to see what we do and see why we do it, because I talked to Elder Pat about that. She said, Larry, I said, Pat, it's part of our ministry. It's my heart. These people miss us when we're out there. Lisa, you know, for the places you flee, when you walk in, they remember you. These people miss you. I would say this to you all. Deacon Chuck, come with us one time. Come and see. I know you're going to cry because I cry. I know it's going to move you when you see somebody in a wheelchair moved in, can't talk or nothing. All of a sudden, they start singing. And all of a sudden, they're smiling. All of a sudden, they're clapping. All of a sudden, they remember. And when we're done, you can see the curtain fall again. But if you saw God's hand working, if you saw people who would trade places with you in a minute, in a second, then you understand why it's so hard for us not to keep going. But I'm going to work on that too, that we can have more time to spend together. You know why? Because I listen. I've talked to so many people in the last 2 weeks. How many know that Marty had surgery on Wednesday? He had carotid artery surgery. How many know that? You see Nancy, and that's what he did. And it's the second time on one side. He has to quit smoking. Is smoking a sin? I don't know if it's a sin or not, but I'm telling you, you need to quit. Hallelujah. So, I'm sorry, is Elaine feeling all right, George? Is she doing you? I didn't know. Okay, good. Because we went to a nursing home and we sang for Elaine's father. And he was so happy to hear us. And he got all excited. I want you to understand what we do and why we do it. It's such a beautiful thing. So can we pray together? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, let us know that there's so much in this church that we need. We need greeters at the door. Just somebody standing at the door. How are you? Greeting people. You don't have to do anything else. Greet them. Say welcome. Welcome. Be ready to just receive them. We need help from each other. We need to help. help each other. I need help. Everybody needs help. We all need to reach out and have that faith, that walk of faith that we sang about this morning. Have that faith to reach out and do something a little further than you thought you ever wanted to or thought you could, because that brings you closer to God. That brings this church to a place of standing with God. So when new people come in and they're going to, listen to what I'm saying, when new people continue and they're going to, they will be greeted. They will see people doing things, see activity, knowing that there's activity in this church because we're blessed with this building. We need to take advantage because we have so much. We have so much to enjoy together. So, Lord, help us to see that there's so much to do, but we need each other because Jesus couldn't do it alone. He didn't do it alone. He sent out people. He sent out disciples. He had people preaching for him. He had people talking for him. He had people sticking up for him, sticking up for the word of God because he was the Son of God. We need that here. That's what's going to make this church even greater than we thought possible, because we're doing all going to be doing God's work. We all need a little touch of each other, just a little touch. So I pray today your heart receive that message, hallelujah, and receive it with joy and receive it with excitement in Jesus' name, because there's a lot to do. Hear my prayer.
Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Praise church. Hallelujah. Let my friend from San Antonio hear this church praising God. Woo! Yeehaw! Don't get carried away, Pastor. Women in the New Testament. Anybody know there were women in the New Testament? You had Mary and Martha, right? The sisters, Lazarus' sisters. They're pretty cool. You had Mary, mother of James. Anybody ever read that? Mary, mother of James. It's in the Bible. You know who she was? She was Mary's sister. Mother Mary's sister. Mary, mother of James was actually his. Of course, we have Mother Mary. Amen. Mother. And we had the woman at the well. How many times have we talked about the woman in the well? The woman. How many? One. What did she do when she met Jesus? What did she do? She went and saved her whole family. She went and saved the whole neighborhood. She went back to her little neighborhood in Huntington, White Hills, San Antonio, wherever it was. She went back there and told people about who? And they all came and met who? And they all gave their heart to who? How many people? One person. Because they believed and they took a step in faith. They must have thought she was nuts until they met him. People are going to think you're nuts. I'm sorry, Lisa. When you start talking about God, they think you lost your mind. Until they catch it. Until they do, and then they're going to thank you. And there was another woman in the Bible who's talked about in all four Gospels. How many? All four. All four Gospels. And I'll tell you, she was talked about. Whew, right, hon? Whew. She was talked about in so many ways you wouldn't believe it. And there's not a lot about her in the Bible, Chuck, but she was sure talked about. Anybody ever see that movie Jack Reacher? I'm going to gym here. There was a movie that Tom Cruise played the part of Jack Reacher. He was kind of a military guy, and and Jim told me he was so upset at the movie because he read the book. He read the book. And Jack Reacher was a big fella, about 6'3", six more than that. He was a big guy. Yes, thank you very much. And Tom Cruise played the part of Jack Reacher. So you see, when men start talking about things that they don't really know, or men decide to change things, some serious things can happen. Now this woman that I'm going to talk about today was accused of sleeping with Jesus. Some people say she had children. Well, there's nothing in the Bible about that, but they see, a story can get carried away. And then other women think that this woman was the prostitute, the one that was caught in the act of adultery. Remember her? And go and sin no more. Well, that was her. No, wasn't her. The truth was, this woman was from a wealthy family. She was a proud woman who had, well, wait a minute. Let me see if I read this. Luke 8. Now it came to pass afterwards that Jesus went through every city and village, preaching and bringing glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. Hallelujah. He had 12 people with him. And certain women who had been and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons. How many? And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others. How many others? Many, who provided for him from their sustenance. Understand what that little part tells us. Those three lines, those three scriptures, 8, 1, 2, and 3, tells us about Mary Magdalene. And Magdalene, just so you understand, she was from a town called Magdala, M-A-G-D-A-L-A, and it's a city on the southwest coast of the Sea of Galilee. She was from Magdala, that's why she got the name Mary Magdalene. George could be like George Bridgeport. It would be the same thing, sort of. Not quite the same, I get it. I know, right? Mary was delivered from 7 spirits. She was living in torment. She must have been so hurting, so bad. When Jesus did that for her, she understood the miracle that happened to her. Certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons. Thank you, Lord. Now, Herod Stewart, he was a household manager. Joanna was married to Herod. You all know King Herod. She was married to his manager of the household. So you know she had a lot of what? Wealth. So Mary Magdalene had a lot of wealth. And the other women had a lot of wealth. So Jesus had these women traveling with them and actually helping them find money to buy things, find for the food for everybody. Hallelujah. Read what it says here in the Kingdom Dynamics. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Divine healing, the Greek word zozo, S-O-Z-O, it means heal, save, make well, or whole, appears in this chapter, offering Luke's unique perspective as a physician. A full range of encounters appear, manifesting Jesus' healing power. Hallelujah. The woman with the issue of the blood, Jesus touches the hem of garment. Your faith has made you well. Hallelujah. And the sower, hallelujah, the people in the Bible that were made well. Thank you, Lord. Mary Magdalene first appears in the Gospels among a number of other women who constitute a part of support team. A part of a what? Assisting Jesus in his ministry. She had been delivered from demonic bondage, the nature of which is not related. Let me say that again. The nature of which is not related. In other words, it's not told in the Bible. Can I have an amen? So anybody who writes what it was does not what? No. Hallelujah. There is almost indestructible body of myths that have come to surround her, primarily by reason of speakers, writers, novelists, and screenplays, which have created a fantasy that generally suggests 3 things, none of which are in the Bible. Let me read that again. None of it in the Bible. 1, that she had been a prostitute. 2, that she was young and attractive. That she had a romantic affection with Jesus. She's also been frequently confused with the sinful woman forgiven by Jesus. Hallelujah. She was first of all, here's the truth. How many want the truth? How many want the truth this morning? She was a grateful soul because she had been freed from terrible torment. 2, she was a witness of the crucifixion, though apparently not beside the cross where Mary, Jesus' mother, and John was, but she was there. Hallelujah. And 3, she was present at Jesus' burial. Hallelujah. Among those who came early Easter morning to complete the embalming of Jesus' body, among the first to hear the first angelic announcement of Jesus' resurrection, and the first person actually to talk with Jesus was who? Mary Magdalene. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Y'all got quiet in a hurry. That's pretty cool. I like that. John 20, it tells us, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon, Peter, and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they have laid them.' Peter therefore went out and the other disciples and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together and the other disciples outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stopping down and looking in, he saw the linen cloth lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciples who came into the tomb first went also in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes." Something very interesting about this tomb, if you really do some digging about it, you understand that this tomb where Jesus was laid was a brand new tomb. Brand new. First, never used. Amen? Nobody had ever been put in that tomb. Doesn't that make sense? This was a brand new tomb, just large enough for Jesus' body and two angels and people to be standing there in the stone roll. But it was a tomb that was cut out of the rocks and it was unused before Jesus. Amen? Thank you, Lord. I think that's interesting. "Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But," say that with me, "but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.'" Do you understand the love this woman has for Jesus? Do you understand that he did everything in her life? He changed her life from the second he healed her. He changed her life to the point that she just needed to be with him. She needed to know where he was. She wanted to be next to him. She wanted to serve him. She wanted to love him. She wanted to tell others about him. She wanted everybody to know what this man did. This love that she felt for him is from God. She felt this love and she felt this devotion like nobody on earth has ever felt before. Hallelujah. What a beautiful soul. "Because they have taken away my Lord and I do not know where they have laid him. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus." That makes sense. Understand the last time she saw him was on the cross. Understand this is the first time she sees Jesus in a glorified body, Gene. Amen? She sees Jesus in a glorified body. She sees Jesus perfected, beautiful. And she doesn't recognize him because she never saw him like that before. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking?" Boy, she's supposing him to be the gardener. Said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Teacher." Jesus said, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God.'" Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken their things to her. Hallelujah. We know Mary was at the cross because it tells us in Mark. And it tells us in Matthew, she wasn't standing at the cross with Mary, Mother of God, and John, but she saw Jesus on the cross. She could never leave his side. She was devoted to this man. She loved this man. She is one of the, how do you say it? I'm going to say great because Jesus is great. But she was so devoted to him after what he did. And if you look in your life at the things that God has done for you and the love that he has given you and the children and the grandchildren and the life that you have and the place and the love that you share and the home that you have and the cars that you drive and all the food that you eat and all the wonderful things in life that God has had, and you say, "Why am I not like Mary Magdalene? Why am I not devoted enough to love him like that so purely?" And the people, the world does not understand that. Trust me, there were stories about this woman and Jesus that were never in this book. And I tell you this from a pastor's heart. If it's not in this book, then it's Jack Reacher. If it's not in this book, it's a fairy tale. If it's not written, if God didn't want us to know, then we don't need to make up stories about things. Can I have an amen? Because there's enough love in this book, there's enough truth in this book that we share to change your life already. So to continue with these things just pulls you away from the beauty that is Jesus. Hallelujah. Because they just expand on stories. And they how many know that it was 90 years on the 14th of February, 90 years from the St. Valentine's Day Massacre? It was 90 years ago. Anybody ever hear that story? Joseph, Mary, you don't know? Al Capone and the gangster from Chicago, on St. Valentine's Day, he had seven people, seven leaders, sort of like Godfather, and only in true life. He had people in one spot. They had them all in one spot, and he killed them all. And it was called, Lisa, you never heard of the St. Valentine's Day Massacre? This is true stuff with Al Capone in Chicago.
Amen.
90 years ago, I know you weren't there, but here's what I'm trying to say. They made a movie about it. It was a great, I loved the movie, but the movie was 2 hours long, so they had to make up sort of, they had to make up conversation. Who knows if they, you know, they made the conversation exciting. People talking to Capone, we don't know if that really happened. We don't know what they did, how they did it. They made it up. See, they made up all sorts of things that may not have been true, but what was true was what he did in that room to those seven other mafia leaders in Chicago. Bootleggers. Hallelujah. So what I'm trying to say is, be very careful. Because if it's not in this word, it's not worth talking about. It's not worth sharing. It's certainly not worth teaching anybody else. And it's, you don't want to tell people. You don't want to lead people down a trail that's gonna make them become lost. This Mary Magdalene, this Mary was written in all four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all wrote about her. She was a great woman. Women should celebrate what this woman did. She loved him. She fell at his feet. She worshiped him. She told others about him. She did her life. She dedicated. Now, I don't expect you, because we all have families, to dedicate your life like that, but you need to dedicate this church like that. We need to see this church. We all need to come together. Understand. Please, one more time. Jesus had 12 disciples. How many?
12.
He had all these women helping him. He had other people. He had people, when he told the word, went out and told their friends. That woman at the well is one of the greatest women in the Bible for me. She went and told her family, and they believed. So we all have that to do. Ask not what your church can do for you, but ask what you can do for your church. Have the courage of Jesus. Have the courage of Mary to tell people and come here and greet it and say, Pastor Larry, I want to help you. I want to help this church. I want to do something. Show me what I can do. I guarantee you there'll be something for you to do to make Second Congregational not only your church but your home. Give them praise, church. Hallelujah. I know, baby. I know, it's all right. Be seated, church. One more thing. Last week we had Boy Scout Sunday. And one of Joanne's friends were here last week, and she came over to me over here, called me over, and she said, I want to tell you, Pastor, when we're here, when I come to this church, I get so excited. I get so fed. I love the way you preach. I love what you say. She said to me, I don't want to give her in trouble. She said, I'd love to come here, but I have to go to my husband's church. And she said, I love to come here, but I, and somebody else told me that visited our church a couple of weeks ago, said, you really believe what you're preaching. I see you preaching and you really believe it. Let me tell you for sure, I believe every single word I preach from this book. I believe it. I believe in miracles. I believe every word. And it just, people receive it, and sometimes they don't come back, and I don't know why, but they come up and tell me. She even said, oh, I have to give you a hug, and she gave me a hug, and it's beautiful to my spirit. But I'm telling you, I believe every single word that I preach to you, and I am here for you, and I want this church to be everything God wants it to be, and it takes all of us. Give him praise. That's not in the Bible.
Well, it should be.
Okay, Jack Reacher.
Give me my pen.
We're going to do the Lord's Supper. And what is the Lord's Supper? Just a simple remembrance of what Jesus did on the cross for us. It's a remembrance. When you take this piece of bread, it's a piece of bread we got here, but you're taking it as Jesus did in the Bible and doing it in remembrance of Him. That's what you're doing. You're just saying, thank you, Jesus, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper in remembrance of what Jesus did for us on that cross. There's some crackers in there if you prefer that over a bread. Please enjoy. Enjoy Jesus this morning. Gluten-free, that's right. Nothing turns into flesh, nothing turns into wine. This is just a simple remembrance, saying thank you to the Lord. As Jesus, when He broke the bread and when He poured the wine into a cup. This is what we're doing this morning. Be healed this morning. Blessed the bread, broke it, torn in pieces, saying, eat and do this in remembrance of me, for this is my body being torn for you, in Jesus' name. Wine, poured it in a cup. It said, my blood being shed for you according to Matthew for the remission of your sins. So as we do this, let's ask God together, Lord, forgive us for our iniquities. Forgiveness, Lord, for when we fell short this week. Help us, Lord, to be stronger. Help us, Lord, to be leaders. Help us, Lord, to do better. Just walking with you, Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord, and we worship you, Lord. Forgive us for our sins this week as we receive the sacrament of His blood. Be healed this morning, church. Thank you, Lord. To know what it means to be under the blood of Christ. We'll share that in a Bible study. To know the beauty of that. To know the beauty of having the Holy Spirit inside of you. Power that that presents. We'll study that together. Together. Thank you, Lord. We know that Mary Magdalene and Mother Mary were friends. We know that they were together. We know that they walked together and they prayed together. We know that because we read it in Scripture. We know that Mother Mary was friends with Joanna and Susanna, and she understood those women walking with her son who were helping her son. Hallelujah. John saw the love. Peter saw the love. Matthew saw the love. They all saw. Thank you, Lord. That was the family of Jesus then. His circle of family. We have it here at Second Congregational. I pray every day that this circle grow larger and larger. And as it does, we reach out more and more to have people come in here that are welcome, to have people here greeting them and getting to know their name as they know our name, and sharing the joy and the fun that we share with the Lord in our church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Blood covers us, covers all our sins. He said, drink and do this in remembrance of him, in Jesus' name. Somebody asked me last week, what was that we drank? I said, it was juice. We're doing something in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. What we drank wasn't important, it was the act of what we did that made it beautiful and made it holy in what you did this morning with Jesus. Give him praise, church. Again, I invite you to some of the homes that we play. Come and see. Lisa knows. Greg and I started there. It's really different when you see singing to people. We had some the other day to somebody who was 102 years old. 100 and up and dancing. 102 years old. What a blessing. This is your. Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. I wonder if that man could get elected today. I don't know. But I would say to you, ask God what you can do for this church. Ask God what you can do for him. Because today we heard about Mary Magdalene and what she did. We heard about the woman at the well and what she did. The people that they brought to Christ. The things that we can do in this church. Ask God. Say, Lord, I'd like to do something. I don't want to be overwhelmed. I want to be overburdened. We don't want anybody overburdened. We just want you to take something. Take something and enjoy it and make it yours. When you make it yours, it blesses the entire church. Hallelujah. We were so blessed. And we're going to be blessed beyond our belief again because we're calling on the name of God. Lord, I thank you as a pastor for every soul in this church today. I thank you for my family being here today. My heart is full of joy today, Lord. I pray that they received. I pray everybody received the word, and I pray they're stronger and have more peace and more joy and more faith in their hearts today than when they walked in.